conversation centered around e-cigarettes has been a hot one, and we're going to get to it right now. And it is. It's part of a spotlight segment on Long Island. Dr. Joel Nitzkin, public health physician, board certified in preventive medicine as his medical specialty. And Dr. Nitzkin has been a strong advocate, by the way, for tobacco harm reduction. Very respected voice in this and other public health concerns. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Doctor, how are you? Welcome aboard LA News Radio.
Good to be here this morning.
Doctor, your area code tells me, are you from New Orleans? Or are you in New Orleans?
I'm in New Orleans. I've been here about 30 years.
There you go. We love our Louisianians. Talk to me a little bit. You know, the latest, you know, this has been a hot topic. Six have died across our nation. And by the way, you know, a lot of people think it's kids, 50-year-olds, all right, 50 plus as well. 600 or so cases of disease of the lungs based on this stuff. You know, why all of a sudden do you think, I'll start out with that, why all of a sudden are we seeing a surge of problems regarding vaping and e-cigs?
Well, there's been the introduction of a new product into the black market marketplace. This new product has to do not with nicotine, but with THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana. And less than a year ago, some people who deal with marijuana manufacturing discovered that if they added vitamin C to the marijuana liquid, it thickened it, made it more attractive to consumers. And it is this new product, the new marijuana juice, if you will, laced with vitamin C that's dissolved in some kind of oil, we're not sure what, that is the cause of this outbreak. And there's no question about it. For every case in which we have enough data and good enough interviews to know what the kid was vaping, every single one of them was vaping this marijuana concoction. So this is the cause of the outbreak. It has absolutely nothing to do with the nicotine-based e-cigarettes. And I'm very concerned about the public communications, which have left people with the impression that this outbreak of pneumonia and these deaths have anything to do with the nicotine-based e-cigarettes.
Dr. Joel Nitzkin with us. So the influx of THC, so that would also include some of the flavored stuff as well, correct?
Well, flavoring has absolutely nothing to do with this outbreak. It has to do with this black market marijuana stuff that's vaped in a similar manner to the nicotine e-cigarettes. And that's what this outbreak is due to. The flavoring is totally a different issue that's worthy of discussion. But that's not what's causing the pneumonia and death, and there's no question about what the cause is.
So what do you do about it? I mean, you do what the federal government is looking to act upon as far as banning thousands of flavors used in e-cigarettes. You know, there seems to be, you know, this information, what you're saying, with this THC, and then there's other stuff as well. I mean, if you're the government, which way do you go here?
Well, I'm very concerned about what appears to me to be a totally inappropriate reaction. I think the government should be doing two things. Number one, communicating to everyone to avoid the THC vape products that are available on the black market and sold on the street that might have this this vitamin E and oil in it. A very specific warning for those very specific targets. Now, that being said, people have vaped marijuana as long as they vaped nicotine, and it actually has a remarkably good safety record. So, you know, the old stuff hasn't been a problem. It is this new concoction. That's number one. Number two, if we want to take action to reduce teen use of vaping, dealing with the flavoring issue, I think, is the wrong way to go about it. The flavoring issue is based on, data by interview that asks kids what they used when they first started vaping nicotine, and 80% of them said, well, they went to the vaping, to the flavored products. Well, number one, almost all the products out there are flavored in one way or another, with tobacco just being, taste being just another flavor. And there's absolutely no evidence that if you eliminate the flavoring, kids would stop vaping. On the other hand, the legitimate use of nicotine e-cigarettes is to enable smokers to, number one, reduce their risk of deadly cigarette-related illness, and also to enable them to quit both cigarettes and nicotine. And for those adult smokers and even teen smokers who switch to e-cigarettes, the flavors are important because when they start with a tobacco flavor. And then as soon as they transition to a fruit or candy flavor, they find the taste of tobacco abhorrent. So if the urge to smoke comes back, they go back to the e-cigarettes, not the cigarettes. So banning flavors will have the practical impact of seriously damaging the utility of e-cigarettes to help adult smokers quit smoking. And I doubt that it will have much impact on the teens. Going back historically, when the FDA tobacco law was introduced into Congress in 2007, there was a lot of talk of banning flavors in cigarettes to protect teens from smoking. And that was at a time when less than 1% of the available cigarettes had any kind of fruit or candy flavoring, and none of the products from any of the big tobacco cigarette flavors had it because kids didn't want it and they didn't bother. So this is something that's based on tradition, based on a deeply held belief. It seems so self-evident to so many people that the kids vape for the flavors, and if you eliminate the flavors, they won't vape. But all of the scientifically valid data that we have suggests that that's not the case.
Yeah, Doctor, but let me just say this, though. Vaping nicotine is extremely addictive as cigarettes, and we know that it is not good as far as your health is concerned, correct?
How addicting it is has everything to do with the dose of nicotine in the e-cigarette. Prior to the introduction of Juul, there was absolutely no evidence of non-smoking teens becoming addicted to e-cigarettes because of the nicotine in them. It's only when the Juul and Juul-like products became available that delivered a much higher dose of nicotine that we began having reports of non-smoking kids becoming addicted to the nicotine in e-cigarettes. So the problem there is the dose of nicotine. The solution to the problem is to mandate a maximum dose. Great Britain, they have all the same products, but Great Britain, by law and regulation, limits the amount of nicotine allowable in an e-cigarette, and they have no such epidemic. And not only that, because of the way that they regulate the marijuana products, they have no pneumonia.
But it's still addictive, though. I mean, any substance that gets into your lungs, air sacs, other than that, I mean, it can cause inflammation, no?
The question is how much, and the question is compared to what? Cigarette smoke is highly addictive because of the combination of nicotine and other substances in the cigarette smoke. E-cigarettes are far less addictive, unless the dose of the nicotine is extremely high, because none of those other substances in cigarette smoke are present to any significant degree in the e-cigarette vapor. You know, just plain nicotine is probably not much more addictive than caffeine, you know, unless it's present in extreme doses.
Caffeine's not going to damage the lungs, doctor.
Nicotine's not going to damage the lungs either.
It still is going into your air sac area in the lungs, and again, it can cause inflammation. Listen, there is still an addictive point at which this can become a harmful deal, no?
Well, that's true, but the question is compared to what? Concurrent with this epidemic of vaping, we have seen a record year-to-year reduction in the number of kids who smoke. Smoking is deadly. Long-term smoking will kill a third to half of the smokers with heart, lung, or cancer disease. Smokeless tobacco products that actually deliver more nicotine than cigarettes do not increase the risk of any of those diseases. Yes, any product you inhale into your lungs has some level of risk. There is no such thing as a totally risk-free vape product. The question is, how much risk and compared to what? So I'm afraid that this sort of war on e-cigarettes is now proceeding will simply drive a lot of kids back to cigarettes, because nowhere in all this hype do you hear any of those who are pushing the flavor ban or the war on e-cigarettes, are they talking about the even greater hazard presented by cigarette smoke. Cigarettes kill 1,300 people a day here in the United States, almost 500,000 a year. E-cigarette fatalities, you can count, you know, on the fingers of both hands. And the e-cigarette fatalities that we've seen these last few months are not due to a nicotine product. They're due to a new black market marijuana product.
I understand. I understand. You explained it very well regarding the THC. But I just can't get out of my mind, you know, that there is still the element of nicotine that can still cause some damage. Now, listen, I understand what you're saying about addiction and everything else. Less still, though, you have an addictive nature about it, and it can become prevalent. Just as regular cigarettes can be harmful to your health, vaping can as well. I mean, there is still the, again, I understand what you're saying, but to me, there is still an addictive nature.
Well, let's talk for a moment about our experience with vaping in teenagers over the past 10 years. Our experience with vaping in teenagers is that a lot of kids experiment with a lot of stuff. When you eliminate the one-time and occasional experimentation and take a look at those kids who use it more than 20 days a month, the vast majority, almost all of them, are kids who are smokers to start with. And the kids who are non-smokers who experiment with this stuff, they experiment with it a little bit, and then they give it up and they go on. This has not recruited large numbers of kids to smoking. When taking a look at the addictive potential in the transition to cigarettes, the best estimate that we have is less than 15% of the kids who go on from e-cigarettes to consistent smoking represents less than 15% of the newly minted smokers each year. So this fear of addiction of large numbers of non-smoking kids to nicotine use through these vaping products has not occurred. What has occurred is a lot of transition of kids who are already smokers to these still harmful, but far less harmful and less addictive e-cig products.
Doc, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, to me, and, you know, we're kind of going around in circles in this, and I'll give you the last word here, but, you know, I look at it like this. Nicotine is the primary agent in both regular cigarettes and e-cigarettes, highly addictive. It still causes one to crave a smoke, suffer withdrawal symptoms. If you ignore the craving, it is still a toxic substance. It raises your blood pressure, just as cigarettes do, and spikes your adrenaline. That increases your heart rate, and that could give you the likelihood of having a heart attack. Listen, to me, it's a different form of a cigarette in a metal container. It is still nicotine. That's, to me, is the common denominator in all of this stuff. I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
Well, the last word is this. If we want to reduce teen use of e-cigarettes and teen use of all these products, the two things we should be doing is, number one, raising the age of purchase from 18 to 21. And the second thing we should be doing is putting a legal limit on the amount of nicotine allowed in the e-cigarettes. Those would be effective means of controlling this surge in e-cigarette use. The third thing we should be doing is warning kids about these marijuana products and doing that as a separate warning. Banning the flavors, I think, will backfire. It will do more harm than good, as I read the information. From a public health perspective.
There you go, Dr. Joel Nitzkin, public health physician, board certified in preventive medicine, as is a medical specialty, and a very strong advocate for tobacco harm reduction, and a respected voice, by the way, in this and other public health concerns, such as communicable diseases. Over 25 years, I might add. Dr. Nitzkin, I can't thank you enough. Interesting topic. You made some great points. And we'll certainly keep on top of this, maybe have you on down the road. How's that?
Okay, my pleasure.
There you go. From New Orleans, Dr. Nitzkin. Listen, I understand what he's saying. Made some great points. You know, the black market on the street, that's where these kids are getting sick. Not kids. You know, six deaths, 50-plus, by the way, I might add. There are kids who are sick. But there are 600 cases or so around the country for those who are suffering some issues here regarding this, serious ones. You know, you watch, you know, some of these reports and look at some of the video there, kids hooked up to machines and everything else. Some survive, some haven't. But to me, the bottom line is, listen, you want to get the flavored stuff and everything else. The THC is dangerous as heck. The e-oil and everything, what the doc is talking about. But to me, it's still nicotine, folks. It is still addictive. It is still compromising your health. I mean, that's really the bottom line here. You know, whether it's safe, not safe, I don't want to hear about it. To me, it's still about the nicotine, okay? And if you really want to take a chance, I mean, how do you know? You go into the stores and the shelves, how do you know that that stuff's not being sold on the black market by some of these proprietors to put some of that stuff on the shelves, okay? Dangerous stuff. I don't know if you want to roll the dice in that. That's the whole thing.